time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip, but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here live on a Tuesday night, episode 99. Unbelievable. Thank you so much for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams. We are 1 week away from the big grand episode 100. And for all those who somehow didn't catch last week's show, the big announcement is episode 100, it's going to be filled with so much. We got Stump the Host, we got roundtable discussion, we got Elimination Chamber aftermath, we got WWE Network aftermath, we got talk about how was it when The Undertaker and Hulk Hogan is reportedly supposed to be back. So, and above all that, we have Tyler Rex on the show next week. 100, Derek, are you ready?
You said Tyler Rex?
Tyler Rex on the show next
week. Tyler Rex
week.
Is going to be on the show. That is excellent. Where has he been? We're going to find out. That's what's great about it. This is episode 99, next week, episode 100. Stay tuned. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, tons to talk about. An hour and a half is never enough. We could go on till 6 a.m., and we'd still not even be a quarter through the conversation. But we got to cram everything as much as we can. Thank you, everybody, supporting us. Pancakes and Power Slams. Follow Chris Featherstone, Bleacher Report, Wrestling Inc., and follow me on Pancakes and Power Slams, correspondent Derek. We're having a lot of fun here. Let's continue the thing going. Chris Featherstone, back to you.
Absolutely. 100 episodes next week. Just a vision that was spawned almost 2 years ago, and just continuing to grow and grow and just being very appreciative. We got so much going on next week, and it's going to be very fun, very exciting, and we got some old voices. We got some surprises coming up as well. So stay tuned for next week. Episode 100 is going to be very, very exciting. 1999. You usually from the episode.
Oh yeah.
From every episode, you usually go back to the corresponding year. So 1999.
You know,
chat room.
1999 was a beautiful year in wrestling.
Yeah.
Beautiful year in wrestling. Come
was.
On. You had
it
was well, I mean, it was like a 1998 kind of bled over in the 99, even though 99-2000 was when it kind of got overdone and kind of stale, but I mean, with The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin still being there with the Attitude Era, 99, that was great. That was a great summer for me. That was the year I graduated high school, and but a year for wrestling as well. It was great. So, I mean, the 90s Attitude Era, let's keep that going. 1999 specific was just beautiful, breathtaking wrestling, and it was a time we'll never get back to.
It wasn't beautiful for WCW, though. That's
well, I'm
a
WWE boy, so.
Yeah, I and you've made that clear, and I like I'm an NWA guy.
That was the downfall of the ratings war. The ratings war died. That's why I said 99 was, it was great, but also had its downfall.
Yeah, that was the decline of the Monday Night Wars, and many people attributed to when Tony Schiavone announced that Mankind, the January episode of Raw, when Tony Schiavone announced that Mankind was winning the WWE World the WWE Championship, that was probably the big shift of good comment here. I would channel flip between shows on Monday. I absolutely would do the same thing. Absolutely would do the same thing every single week. But I remember when Tony Schiavone announced that Mankind was going to win the WWE Championship, and I was surprised because I didn't think that Vince would give Mankind the go-ahead to be the top guy in the WWE. So, admittedly, and me and some colleagues actually was talking about this about a week or two ago, that I flipped the channel. It was a backlash because Tony Schiavone, it actually backlashed because he said, don't turn the channel because Mankind is going to win the title. And that kind of prompted everyone to change the channel to see Mankind win the title. So it was kind of a backhanded promotion for the WWE. And it didn't work well at all. And I think I might even write that might even be a good topic for me to write for my Retro Wednesday. Speaking of that, Retro Wednesdays on wrestling.com still going strong. Last week we talked about let me quote on the chat room real quick. My friends would call me when something awesome happened on Nitro. I'd do the same when something went down on Raw. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. We didn't have text messages back then, so it was.
You'd have to call
you
them.
And say,
hello.
Hey, did you see? All right, hello. Did you wait a minute? I'm watching wrestling right now. Well, wait a minute. Did you see what happened on Raw? No, I'm watching Nitro. Yeah, it was fun times and. I don't think we'll ever get to that moment again, and it's really sad. We have TNA, we have ROH, but I mean, just as far as the prominent promotions, Vince McMahon has a monopoly on that, and I just don't think that we'll ever. I'm hoping that we would, but I don't think we'll ever get to the point where the Monday Night Wars mean anything. TNA tried a few years ago to go head-to-head with Raw and actually had impact on Mondays, and that was one of the – That was the biggest mistake that the TNA has ever made, I would say. That was the biggest mistake. It seems like recently they went live. They were going live and going on the road. I think that was a good idea, but they were losing so much money that wasn't a good idea either. And they condensed their pay-per-views, only have a few a year. So that wasn't – the pay-per-views didn't work either. So it seems like a dozen years into the promotion, it still seems like it's a trial-and-error thing. I mean, I do feel like it's on an upswing. We'll talk about Impact Wrestling a little bit more later. I do feel like it's on an upswing with the Wolves and MVP there, but it just wasn't as good with the backlash, with the backfiring ideas, trial and error. But they're still hanging on. I mean, they're trying to do their best, and hopefully we'll have some type of competition with WWE. WWE needs competition. They need that type of competition to thrive because so many people are dissatisfied with the product, and I would say the reason why is because they don't have that competition. You had creative for both WWE and WCW. They did their best every single week. Now, Vince McMahon can purposely have ridiculous Raws because he knows, oh, wow, great question on the chat room. What if ROH merges with Impact? That's a fantastic question. I think that would be, I would be in favor of that, honestly, because I keep saying, well, there's another comment that said it wouldn't be booked right. I would say that if they did that, they have Spike TV. They have Spike TV to roll with. Of course, SBG, you know, is ROH, but I mean, they're in Ohio. We have Fox. Kevin Steen versus Sting. Well, Sting isn't even with Impact anymore, so it may be Kevin Steen versus EC3. Possibly that would be that wouldn't be an angle that people would be excited about. But at the same time, though, there's so many people from ROH that is thrived in Impact. Of course, I mean, I've said it before. You have your AJ Styles. Well, he's back in ROH now. But and vice versa. You have in ROH. You have AJ Styles. You have Jay Lethal. It's kind of even Nigel McGuinness when he was Desmond Wolf in TNA. So it's. They kind of go back and forth as far as Impact Wrestling is concerned. I mean, of course, you have your Austin Aries. You have your Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe. Now you have the Wolves. So I'm a fan. I'm a fan of that idea. And I think that with time we'll talk about it a little bit more. As far as what would happen if there would be a merge with ROH and Impact, I think that's actually a pretty good topic to address either on Bleacher Report or Wrestling.com too. So kudos to the chat room, Wrestling Now and Then to be exact. I'm going to give him a national plug here because that was a very good question. All right, let's get to Raw here.
Bring in Jim Cornette. So.
Bring in Jim Cornette. I think
I give them a push too. All right, but yeah, let's get on the Raw.
No, I would beg to differ about the Jim Cornette references. I'm not a big fan. I think you got a fan, Derek. I think you have a fan by someone listening to you talk about rant about Jim Cornette every week. And,
I don't
rant.
That guy speaks the truth.
Know. Well, one of these days, man, I'll bring Jim Cornette on the show soon, and we'll have him talk about that would be talk about your shoot.
200th episode.
that would talk about your shoot. Yeah. Well, let's get to Raw here. Of course, we start off with trivia. Speaking of that, Stomp the Host next week. So be sure to tune in live and flood the chat room. We have usually a lot of people in the chat room, but people go in and out and in and out. But stay in the chat room and let's flood the chat room. And last two, I think we've had two Stomp the Hosts before, and both of them went very well. It was very exciting and fun every week. Every time that we've done it, it's pretty fun. But we'll do it again next week, Stomp the Host, and it's a long time coming, and it's been a while, so we'll have some fun again with it next week. The first question, trivia. Tito Santana's finisher was named what? Tito, and don't do it, Derek. Tito Santana's finisher was named what?
Do you want the slang version, or do you want what it was scientifically called?
The finisher, not what it was, but the actual name of the finisher. All right, let's get to Raw. John Cena starts off with an in-ring promo, gets interrupted by Cesaro. Who's no longer Antonio Cesaro. He's just Cesaro now. We reported on WrestlingInc.com that Vince McMahon made an executive decision to change Cesaro's name from Antonio Cesaro to Cesaro because he didn't think Antonio sounded tough enough. So, you know, it's a very interesting investment in Cesaro. But it's, you know, it's a good thing. We saw him beat Randy Orton on SmackDown clean, so I was a big fan of that. He's on a rise. He's on the rise. I'm a big fan. I followed him in ROH when he was Claudio Castagnoli, and also when he was with Chris Hero as the Kings of Wrestling. They had the titles for about a year. And so they had a very, very good tag team, the Kings of Wrestling, and Castagnoli did very good in ROH. I like them. I like ROH, and I keep saying ROH still has the best talent pool of wrestlers that we've seen. And, of course, we've seen the success of ROH alumnus through Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe. All those people were world champions, either in WWE or Impact Wrestling. So we've seen a success rate, and the Wolves, they both were champions in ROH, and they are on deck of becoming tag team champions soon in Impact Wrestling. So the best talent pool by far goes to ROH, and we see that now with Cesaro. I just don't know if they'll officially do the Real Americans breakup. I don't think it's a good idea doing this breaking up the Real Americans. They already broke up Primetime Players. Yeah, they got a match on Elimination Chamber, and by the way, we will talk about the Elimination Chamber predictions, as we always do every time a pay-per-view comes. We do predictions, and the flavor of the week this week is WrestleMania 7 and WrestleMania 8. We're continuing the WrestleMania series. Now we're up to number 7, and we'll go all the way up to number 29 by the time WrestleMania comes, and we'll continue to have some fun with that. But I'm on board with Cesaro's push. I just don't, and I mentioned this on Wrestling.com on my SmackDown review column that I wrote this weekend. I don't think good job, Flying Burrito. Very, very good job. That is the correct answer. In the chat room, someone admitted that they cheated. Very interesting. No cheating. No cheating in chat room. No cheating on Twitter.
Pastor De La Mierto. What does that mean?
The flying something El Paso. I don't know what that means. Actually, any Spanish speaking.
I don't speak Japanese.
Any Spanish speaking Pancakes and Power Slams viewers, listeners, be sure to translate that. That would be the step of the death. Okay, well, there you go. The step of the death. El Paso de la Muerte. Okay. Thank you for that translation there. The step of the death. That sounds like a treacherous salsa dance. Like if someone was someone in Mexico was supposed to be punished. You're sentenced to an El Paso de la Muerte. And then you have a bunch of people saying, ole! And then Los Matadores would come in and kind of navigate and kind of MC this El Paso de la Fuerte punishment. Yeah, that's all I got on that. But as far as back to John Cena is concerned, we kind of veered off to some Mexican death step here. I'm a big fan of Cesaro's push. He initially interrupts John Cena, then Sheamus does, then Christian, then Randy Orton, and Daniel Bryan, just to lead up to Elimination Chamber. I was expecting this, and I'm okay with it. Kane comes out, schedules a match between Cena and Cesaro and Christian and Daniel Bryan, which leads to Daniel Bryan defeating Christian, but Christian kind of made a heel turn on Raw, which I don't like. I every time Christian to me is a heel, he always reaches a ceiling to me. He always reaches a glass ceiling, and his gimmick gets kind of redundant, gets kind of boring when he turns heel, and he loses much more. I like Christian as a face. It exhibits his wrestling skills a lot more, but it looks like we're getting a heel Christian, and that's not going to last. He's just not going to go far with that new attitude.
Yeah. I'd like to see it's going to be a pretty good Elimination Chamber as far as I'm concerned. I understand with the Cesaro push. I mean, I like that too. I still don't think that it's going to make that much with Zeb Coulter still being in his corner. So I'm kind of worried about that. Hey, Christian, I'd love to see Christian do everything. He's always trying to be the snotty little brother, it kind of seems like. But it's kind of cool. That fits Christian's charisma. I love Captain Charisma. Everything to him. In a way, I kind of see Brian coming out with this almost. And it's kind of what I think is going to happen.
Early predictions?
No, I'm not going to predict it. I'm just saying, I think Brian, it may come down to like maybe Brian and Sheamus, or and RKO is obviously going to be in there with, you know, Randy Orton. But is this going to be Brian's push? I mean, they have to have something better than what they're going to have at WrestleMania. Something has to happen at Elimination Chamber that's just going to totally turn the tables. If not, then WrestleMania is going to be lame.
That's a good point. I just don't think that that's going to happen. I really think that the Elimination Chamber is going to be a filler pay-per-view, and they've been doing that for a while now. Elimination Chamber, and I just don't know how I feel.
They've been doing it forever.
I don't know how I feel by Elimination Chamber being in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Beforehand, you had No Way Out. It was in February, and I understand it was a filler pay per view still, but at the same time, you got such a big gimmick pay per view Elimination Chamber right before WrestleMania. I'm still up in the air about that. I'll give you my predictions of the Elimination Chamber when we get to that segment of the show, but I just don't like the Elimination Chamber. I'm not totally sold on Elimination Chamber being in between the two of the biggest pay-per-views of the year. I think that should be more of a standalone pay-per-view, and maybe December, because TLC is just not good, or even October. October we have Hell in a Cell and Battleground as of last year. Battleground wasn't really a good idea to me, and it was probably the worst pay-per-view of the year. Although the match between the Rhodes Brothers and the Rhodes Brothers and the Shield that was a fantastic match, but that was probably it in Battleground. It should be somewhere else, but as far as the build is concerned, I'm okay. I'm okay with this Elimination Chamber match. I just don't think that people like Christian just doesn't make sense. And I said before, Daniel Bryan should not be in the match. Period. Especially with this. What happened with Kane afterwards when he beat Christian, and then Kane announced that he has to face him, and then Daniel Bryan won by disqualification. Again, I'm going to say this every week until WrestleMania. I hope that Daniel Bryan versus Kane does not happen at WrestleMania. That would be absolutely horrible.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to see it either. It's going to be absolutely disgusting if that's what happens. I love Kane, but Daniel Bryan deserves so much better, and they're just still underutilizing him. He had so much behind him 4 or 5 months ago, and he's just been stale since. Oh, let's let him have a feud with the Wyatts, and then he joins the Wyatts, and they've just been using him as a ping pong ball. I don't know. What have they been using him as? It's just been absolutely disgusting. I want to see Daniel Bryan be used to the potential that he can be used for, and they don't know how to do that, and again, it all comes down to they have no competition. So
yeah.
They just do what they want and let it go, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Corporate Kane, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Corporate Kane. Yeah.
He's still ripped, though. I'll give him that. He is still a machine. Maybe not a big red machine, but
he's
a machine.
46 years old,
guy.
He's still in good shape for 46, so I give him major kudos for that. So, next we have Fandango defeating Santino.
It wasn't
a good match. No, it wasn't a good match at all. I'm sure that you were satisfied.
I didn't say it was
totally
a good match.
Wasn't.
It was just good to see Fandango win.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure it was
now,
to you.
So
you're kind of used to Fandango. Yeah, enjoy it while you can, because we won't be seeing too much of that any time in the near future. He won't be winning much after this thing. And this is just leading. And this is just making Santino Marella look. It's building up Emma, is what it seems like. But somehow they're having Santino lose repeatedly to Fandango. I have no idea how this is making Emma look good, unless they're going to have her come in. They're having her come in as a babyface from NXT. If they maybe have her come in as a heel eventually, because she keep costing Santino matches. They kind of tempted the whole kiss thing. I mean, I think Emma and Santino is a fantastic pair. I'm a big fan of Emma and Santino. I like Emma's work as well. She's a good wrestler. She's proved it in NXT. And I like the Emma Taining. I like the Emma Lucian. I like the dance. It's quirky. It's funny. I'm a big fan of it. And interestingly enough, she's only 24 years old too, so she's got a very promising future in the WWE. But I don't know what they're really doing with this. I just really don't understand what they're doing with this. And I think it would be funny if this actually led to WrestleMania in a mixed tag team match. And to be honest with you, I would not doubt that happens, especially with Summer Rae being on Total Divas now. I totally would not be surprised if we see a mixed tag match between Santino and Emma against Fandango and Summer Rae at WrestleMania.
That wouldn't be bad. I can understand that. I can dig that. So let's keep the ball rolling with them. Yeah, Fandango, he's obviously... he's a bit of a stalemate, but there's some flair about him. Him and Santino Marella, they make a pretty good match. They make a great match and a stepping stone for the Divas. I agree with Emma's. She's got an awesome future. I hope they really hone in on her and just let's bring a little bit of technique back to the Divas. Some more scientific wrestling, just wrestling period, not just glamour.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Next, we have Roman Reigns defeating Mark Henry. I like it. It was a good push. You know, a further push for Roman Reigns. However, they continue to make Mark Henry look so bad. I just really don't understand. Why they would just continue to make Mark Henry just a jobber. I mean, they did this big old push. He gets the haircut. He looks like a blown up Kimbo Slice, and we're supposed to, you know, he has this dominant, intimidating look, and they have booked Mark Henry so poorly, and he even has a new shirt, and it looks good too, actually, and interesting, it would have been better if he would have, if he won the Rumble, chat room here. Mark Henry would have won the Rumble, and how, and chat room, how would you have booked WrestleMania with Mark Henry winning the Rumble? It was a very interesting comment there in the chat room. How would you have booked Mark Henry winning the Royal Rumble as far as WrestleMania is concerned? But they've booked him so poorly, and it's an embarrassment to Mark Henry, and even his promo, even his promo before the match, I mean, he told Renee Young, he said, you know, it's not about winning, it's not about losing, it's about inducting someone in the Hall of Pain. Cause that's what I do, and I got excited.
He doesn't do that.
Man, right? Exactly. He should have said, "Cause that's what I don't." Because he does not. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it at all. Oh, Roman Reigns. That's a good clarification there. Roman Reigns should have run the Royal Rumble. How would you have booked Mark Henry? That was kind of left field, but it would have been interesting though. Roman Reigns should have won the Royal Rumble totally, but I suppose that they think that it would have been premature, which I do think Roman Reigns in the title picture right now is a bit premature. I think he needs to be built up a lot better, because I think you have an opportunity to mess up this push if it's done poorly. If it's done prematurely and if it's done poorly, you have a chance to mess it up. And right now, they're doing it very, very good. Definitely got to give kudos to WWE for that. They're doing this Roman Reigns push very good. It's almost inevitable that we're going to see a face turn by Roman Reigns. What I really want for the Wyatt family to win, I guess this is a prediction, one of the predictions of the Elimination Chamber. I'm kind of spoiling it right now. Well, I'm not necessarily going to tell you my prediction. I'm going to tell you what should happen. We should have Roman Reigns. We should have somehow the Shield cost each other the match between the Wyatt family and lead to a feud at WrestleMania. And not necessarily a breakup, because I don't think the Shield should break up. I think that Roman Reigns should break from the Shield, and someone like a Leo Kruger or someone from NXT, Alexander Rusev, no, not so much, although he's keep having vignettes, which I don't think he'll do very well. He'll kind of be like a Vladimir Kozlov to me, honestly. But I think you should have someone, and they've even thrown Mason Ryan out there. I don't think I don't think that's really a good idea. But someone else, kind of the look of Roman Reigns, possibly. Well, I believe Leo Kruger's what, Adam Rose now or something to that nature, which is quite odd. But someone to the Roman Reigns look, be a part of the Shield, and still have the group. But the Shield should be in a triple threat match at WrestleMania for the U.S. title. The U.S. title has been so pointless. It's been totally pointless the past almost year. I think it was May when Dean Ambrose won the title from Kofi Kingston. So it should be a U.S. title match at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns wins the U.S. title. And that's the start. I mean, that's even a a better point, a better ascension to his push to being a main eventer. I think that's how you should book it. WrestleMania, triple threat match between the Shield for the U.S. title.
That's a good analogy. I think that could be something that would happen. I don't want to see it happen, but it's something that we could possibly see. So you've got Roman Reigns. They want to really push him and make him to be the babyface. Obviously, there's a crack in the Shield. Doggone it, but that's inevitable. So is this is going to be the breaking point. So they're all going to go off on their own. You're going to have Roman Reigns be the number one. What's going to happen to the other two? Are they going to be a tag team? What's going to happen between that? I don't really think that's going to be that's not going to last very long. But I think they all have potential to really push and shine. So I'd like to see that. This is kind of the end of the Shield era, if you want to say so. Like you said, it's been going on for almost over a year now. He's had the title since May, so... Yeah, it's kind of end of an era for the WWE. So let's see what's going to happen with the Shield. I mean, that's going to be exciting in itself. You know, whatever else is going to happen at WrestleMania, that's going to be a match everybody is going to want to see. Triple threat between the Shield, and that's absolutely crazy. I'm behind it. The aftermath behind it is going to be something to continue to hone in on, but... Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that. That was a really good call. That was a great point. Chris Featherstone, back to you.
Thank you, sir. Absolutely. Then somehow we had Dean Ambrose attacking Mark Henry post-match, furthering his failed attempt to put someone in the Hall of Pain. I still don't understand why he had that promo just for that to happen.
That's ridiculous.
Why family cut the promo? It is, man.
I feel sorry for Mark Henry. They're just making him look like such a wuss, kind of like they do the Big Show. I mean, it's why have these big behemoths if you're just going to make them look like Steve Lombardi's. It just doesn't work. It's painful to watch.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Brawler. Yeah, absolutely, man. You're making the Big Show and Mark Henry look like the Brooklyn Brawler and SD Jones. So that's and Iron Mike Sharp. How about that?
Stagger Lee.
Yeah, Barry Horowitz. They're making them look like the jobbers of the 80s and 90s. We don't want that. We don't want the Big Show to look like George South from the NWA or any of those jobbers from back in the day. Definitely don't want that, but they're doing that with Mark Henry, man, and I really don't understand what they're doing. Maybe Mark Henry gets mad that he's on a losing streak and he makes a heel turn.
He's already
maybe
done
that. Turns into, exactly. He's already it's redundant. Okay, well, you know, you're all a bunch of puppets. You know, he would say that. And
Big Show's been on mean streaks. It does nothing. You get behind
it, exactly.
And you get the hype.
It does
and
nothing.
It just years, whatever. What happened?
Yeah, and it will lead to. This is what will happen. It will lead to Mark Henry making a heel turn just to be fed to someone, just to pump someone, just a job to someone. I probably Biggie Langston. That would probably be my first guess. Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania with Biggie Langston. And I said initially that was a good idea, and I still think it's a good idea. However, not so much now because Mark Henry is being so utilized so poorly that I wouldn't be looking forward to that match now. This is what I think should happen with Mark Henry. He should kind of still do his matches now and beat the Damian Sandows and Curtis Axels and Rybacks of this world. And he should surprise us at WrestleMania. And the best way to, because he's still selling the elbow injury from Brock Lesnar, the best redemption that he can have with Brock Lesnar is making a run in and coming in, because of course it's rumored that Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker is going to be competing against each other at Mania, which I'm still up in the air about, because I don't think that a nearly 50-year-old Undertaker can hang with 36-year-old Brock Lesnar physically. And it's been even reported that Brock Lesnar doesn't want to that he doesn't have the time, or he's not willing to put the time in to call the match, because every year people, I don't know, not a lot of people know this, but every year Undertaker, he actually invites people to his gym and his home and to meet with him before WrestleMania to put the match together as best as possible, as crisp as possible, which I think is a fantastic idea. That's the reason why his matches are so daggone good at Mania. But Brock Lesnar is not willing to do that because he doesn't have the time or the passion to do that. So it just would not be the best idea to put Lesnar and Taker together. I'm sure come WrestleMania, we'll appreciate the hype, we'll appreciate the build, we'll be caught up in the moment. But I'm not too sold on it right now. But I'll tell you what should happen. It's almost a lock that we'll see Lesnar and Taker. Somehow Brock Lesnar is getting the best of The Undertaker. Brock Lesnar is almost close to beating The Undertaker, and all of a sudden we get Mark Henry from the crowd, and he puts, and the referee does his normal knockout spot. He's somewhere in the corner of the ring, knocked out. Mark Henry comes from the crowd, gives Brock Lesnar a World's Strongest Slam, and that causes The Undertaker to gain some momentum and eventually beat Brock Lesnar. I think that would be such a fantastic redemption move for Mark Henry, and this is why it would work. We won't see The Undertaker after WrestleMania, probably for another year, but we will see Brock Lesnar. So we'll have a few more appearances by Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar and Mark Henry should be an actual feud for an Extreme Rules match or a payback or whatever, a minor pay-per-view. So I think that would be a good idea to implement Mark Henry to have some type of redemption, because he's being so poorly used right now.
It's over for Mark Henry. I don't think there's any redemption for him, and that's a shame. Brock Lesnar didn't want to hang out with The Undertaker, or doesn't want to. Are you kidding me? Brock Lesnar should lose. He's a massive force, but he seems like just to be such a jerk. I'm tired of hearing stories like that. And I heard in the past Kurt Angle showed him up once, and now he's got something with Undertaker. He doesn't want to hang out with him and talk about the match. You know, give me a break. The Undertaker, nobody's going to remember Brock Lesnar more than they will The Undertaker when it comes to the lore of wrestling. So,
yeah.
Brock Lesnar doesn't deserve even to be with Undertaker.
Yeah, we got a tweet asking John Cena turns heel on Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania. Would that be perfect timing? Oh, great question, great tweet. Any other tweets? Follow tweet at Crave Wrestling, and we'll say I'm live on the show. Kudos to this recent tweet. I'll give you credit here. The credit goes to Wrestling Fan 2K. So that's where the credit goes to. We got another tweet here. We'll address both of them here. As far as John Cena turning heel on Hulk Hogan, that would be fantastic to me. I would be honest with you. I would kind of have the Rock treatment to me because for a long time I was so tired. And this is but when the Rock turned heel back in 2003, I believe, when he turned heel and feuded with Hulk Hogan at it was 2003 because 2002 was WrestleMania 18. When he competed against Hulk Hogan, and then 2003 he competed against Hulk Hogan at No Way Out, if I'm not mistaken, and he beat Hogan both times, oddly enough. But it was, or was it Brock Lesnar? Was it Brock Lesnar? I think it was. Well, he feuded with Brock because not Brock Lesnar, but Goldberg, because Goldberg returned at Backlash, a day after Backlash in 2003, I believe. So, I think that Rock at the time when he was a heel, and it was funny. I loved heel Rock when Rock turned heel and he did the night out with the Rocks in Toronto and Sacramento, and it was absolutely hilarious. And that is when I started liking the Rock, because beforehand it was finally the Rock has come back to every single city that matters, every single city that doesn't matter. I was so tired of that every week. It was getting redundant. I didn't like it. I was not a Rock fan for a long time. But when he turned heel, I was a huge fan of the Rock. I liked the music. I liked the swagger that he had, the Durangos with the leather vest and pants. I think it was brilliant. And so I was a big fan of that, and I think that it was a different kind of direction for the Rock that worked very well. I would do that. I think that I may be a John Cena fan if he turned heel on Hulk Hogan. I don't think that Vince McMahon would give him he's such the poster boy that I really don't ever see John Cena turning heel, to be honest with you. But if he turns heel on Hogan, that would be absolutely funny, and I would officially become a John Cena fan as soon as that turn is executed.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I guess. I don't know if I could ever really be a true blue John Cena fan where I'd hang his poster on my wall or wear his T-shirt. But to go against Hogan, I could see that from John.
Not against Hogan. Not going against Hogan. Maybe something like a tag match between John. Hulk Hogan's not clear to wrestle, so it won't be.
Yeah, I don't even see Hogan ever being in the ring again. So.
Yeah, it won't be in a physical role. Maybe Hogan congratulates John Cena for beating Bray Wyatt. Maybe he. Because he's supposed to be hosting WrestleMania 30. That's supposed to be his role, as the host of WrestleMania 30. So maybe he comes out and congratulates John Cena from beating Bray Wyatt. He shakes the hand, and then they do the celebration, and then all of a sudden John Cena goes and he AAs Hulk Hogan. That would just be prize to me. That would be one of the best John Cena moments in his entire career.
That'd be great.
Amazing.
That would be. That's great.
Absolutely, man. And that just opens up so many John Cena feuds. Because at this point in time, let's be honest. At this point in time, it's time for John Cena to start putting over people. John Cena's he's the biggest name in the past decade of the WWE, and he's inserted in one of the top five biggest names in WWE history. Although I'm not a big fan of that, but you can't deny that John Cena is one of the biggest names in WWE history. He is Vince McMahon, born and bred, he built John Cena. He is a WWE boy from the ground up. And Vince McMahon's been successful by building him from the ground up. And he's one of the biggest names in history. And so now John Cena doesn't need titles. He doesn't need, you know, and I keep saying John Cena needs to be in a main event at WrestleMania 30 because it just feels right, because he's been the poster boy for so long. Or he should be not necessarily even the main event, but in the main event caliber match. To me, John Cena and Bray Wyatt is not in the slightest a main event caliber match, and I don't want to see it at WrestleMania at all. A minor pay-per-view, I'll be fine with that, but WrestleMania, absolutely not. But he needs to start putting over people. Putting over Bray Wyatt, to me, I wouldn't be a fan of that. But if we had a heel John, no, not at all. But if we had it, but if we had a heel John Cena, I mean, just think about all the possibilities of people who he could put over. He could put over Daniel Bryan again. He could put over any type. Biggie Langston would be a nice person to put over. A babyface Roman Reigns versus a heel John Cena. I mean, think about that. That would be fantastic. And then we got a comment in the chat where they would need to have someone to take the babyface slot of Cena. Clearly, Roman Reigns would fill that slot, and people like Roman Reigns. People don't like John Cena, the majority of people. And Roman Reigns, he would totally fill that slot without question. So, and then, of course, there's rumors that Chris Jericho and RVD is coming back, and even a rumor that talks that they'll go against each other at WrestleMania, which would be a fantastic match, but Chris Jericho will probably lose. So I wouldn't be a fan of that because he puts everyone over. So, but you'll have enough baby faces. You'll have your Dolph Ziggler's, you'll have your Big E Langston's, you'll have your Big Show's. So you'll have enough faces to be sufficient to fill that baby face slot of John Cena. But specifically, Roman Reigns should be that guy. And he will be eventually, and I think it'll be very fitting if Cena was heel and then Roman Reigns was a face, man. And Roman Reigns versus John Cena would be a very, very good build, a very good feud.
That would be an awesome feud. That would be absolutely spectacular. I mean, just thinking if all this could happen, that would be beautiful. Is that what's going to happen is a thing. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next coming weeks on Pancakes and Power Slams. Is what is the status? Is this going to be something? Did we predict this? Is this the perfect way wrestling should be? And we're just going to have to wait and see. I mean, that's the gospel right now as far as wrestling goes. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. A couple other tweets that I'm going to address in a minute that are good questions as well. Let's go to Raw real quick. Jack Swagger defeats Kofi Kingston. Not much to say about that other than another trivia question, which is what wrestler's nickname was the Lariat? What wrestler's nickname was the Lariat? As far as Swagger, Kingston's a jobber. Swagger's going to be in an Intercontinental title match, so of course he wasn't going to lose. And Kofi Kingston is... I've almost came to the point. Stan Hansen, great job. Looks like that wasn't too hard for the chat room, but I'm almost to the point where accepting that Kofi Kingston will not be anything but a glorified jobber. That as a filler champion, he wins the mid-card titles for a while, just to kind of filler type of something. And I've accepted the fact almost completely that Kofi Kingston, we're not going to get a heel turn, we're not going to get a push. He will just wallow in the mid-card, and that's why I hope that Evan Bourne comes back, because I actually liked Air Boom That was a good tag team. That was probably one of the best moments of Kofi Kingston because he gelled very well with Evan Bourne. Kofi Kingston needs Evan Bourne right now. Air Boom needs to be a tag team again. They would be a big addition to the tag team division right now because the tag team division is actually not too bad. It's been one of the best years of the tag division in a number of years. So that's that's it. I mean, that's it, though. I mean, Kofi Kingston needs Evan Bourne. Air Boom, once you figure out the answers, I change the questions chat room. That was said by Roddy Piper. Good comment. We need stuff like that next week for Stomp the Host because we're going to have some fun with Stomp the Host, and we're going to see who wins between Derek and myself. But Kofi Kingston needs Air Boone. He needs Evan Bourne to reform Air Boom, and to help the tag division. Other than that, he'll just keep losing. He'll just be another glorified jobber. He'll be another whatever names we just threw out there. Steve Lombardi with Brooklyn Brawler, and Iron Mike Sharp, and SD Jones, he's accomplished a little bit. He's accomplished more than them, but Kofi Kingston is not worth anything these days, to be honest with you, other than making someone else look good and giving a few good wrestling moves here and there. I mean, he's a good wrestler, but not worth much anything.
No, he's not, and I totally understand that. And one thing I want to get clear, for next week, Stump the Host, since I'm the co-host, I get to ask you questions too, right?
Yeah, we can do that. We'll ask each other questions, and we'll go through. We'll go to Twitter and we'll go to the chat room. So we'll do that. So we'll have some fun with that as well. We'll try to stomp each other as well. But Stomp the Host is, like I said, we always have fun with that, and
that's
going to
be great.
Have some fun next week. Yeah,
everybody,
Biggie
out there
Langston.
Let's stump the host. Chris Featherstone is a genius at professional wrestling as far as knowledge, trivia. I am as well. I even sometimes I've stumped him, and he's like, oh, I had no idea. And I was like, yeah, you didn't know
very,
that.
Very
you?
Few
crazy.
Times.
But
very,
anyway,
very,
I just want to say
times.
That you guys out there can do it. This can be awesome. This will be a lot of fun. Chris Featherstone, he's going to be stumped. And we'll be there to enjoy it. And
no.
I'll be there. Yeah.
You will be stumped
great.
Much more than I will. And you stumped me very, very little times. Very, very little times. Derek and I have known each other for about 3.5 years. About 4.5 years now. And we've talked many hours of wrestling, and there was one point in time where we used to just daily ask each other trivia, and I had such a magnanimous winning percentage over Derek that it was almost embarrassing. Well, it was embarrassing.
Those records were lost.
They
suddenly disappeared, and I don't know where they went. It's crazy.
And it's so funny. I think I still have. I know. I think I still have that paper. All those papers. It'll be hours and hours and hundreds. We literally, off the top of our head, asked hundreds, and I'm not kidding. We asked hundreds of trivia questions daily, and it was. Fun. It was tons of fun, and I beat him almost every single day. But at the same time, he's good though. But
fairy
he's good.
Tale.
He's really, really good. The questions that he asked me was very good. It was very challenging. A lot of them wasn't initially easy, and I didn't get all of them right. So he's really good in trivia. So I'm looking forward to Stomp the Host. on with Raw. Big E. Well, he's. That's another name change. I was going to say name change, but I think lame change actually is more fitting. Big E, no longer Big E Langston, just Big E. He defeats Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal from 3MB. New gear from Drew McIntyre. I have no idea why that means anything. But he made 2MB continue to look bad. I'm sure that Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal are so tired of their positions right now as far as in the WWE. But at the same time, I said that in one breath, but at the same time, hey, they're making good money. And they're on national, worldwide, actually international television. So, I mean, you can lose every week, and you know when you come home with that paycheck, you'll smile every time. So, but it's it really shows that they have no investment in 3MB at all. They did initially, but they don't now. To have Biggie Langston defeat two people, I liked it because I'm a big Biggie Langston fan. But It seems like they're kind of pulling the plug on the Big E push, which I think is a horrible idea.
Yeah, the Big E push. Come on. You know,
The Big E push is a horrible idea, and I don't think that stopping the Big E push is a horrible idea. Big E being pushed is a fantastic idea, but sadly, looks like that's another failed attempt. It's another initial rise and fall of an idea. It was horrible. It's horrible that they're not investing time in Big E. He should be in a big role come WrestleMania. He should be. Hopefully, I mean, there's still some time. There's still a little less than 2 months before WrestleMania, more like a month and a half before WrestleMania. So, you know, maybe we'll see some investment with Big E. I hope so, and he should be, because honestly, he should be on par with Roman Reigns as far as future names, very near future names of the WWE. So, next we had John Cena versus Cesaro. That was such a fantastic match. It was a bit slow in the beginning, but it was really, really good. And I tell you what, man, I'm not a Cena fan, but I said this before, man. I got to call a spade a spade. I do. It kind of hurts to admit this, but I got to call a spade, man. John Cena is really doing a good job helping out these up-and-comers. Like, his match with, and I'm going to be honest with you, his match versus Seth Rollins on SmackDown was better than the match that CM Punk had with Seth Rollins on the following Raw. Just because John Cena, he's so over, he has that, you know, I'm the man, I'm the poster boy, I'm the biggest name feel, and someone beating John Cena is a big idea because he doesn't put people over much. And so, I really believe that Cesaro and John Cena, you know, they got a question here in the chat room, match of the year candidate. So far, yes, I would say so. And I think that it definitely has, it won't win the match of the year candidate. It won't win the match of the year because I definitely think that we'll see much better matches. I mean, that was a good match. It was a really, really good match. But I think towards the year, I think the match of the year would involve something with Daniel Bryan, and also a great comment on the chat room too, Cesaro versus Sami Zayn in NXT. That was a fantastic match too. Cesaro has the tools, man. He really has the tools to be a big star. He's not the best on the mic. That's why you have Zeb Coulter, and that's why it's good that he has Zeb Coulter. But again, I see, and there was a question posed on the chat room as far as inserting someone to be the babyface that if John Cena went heel. Here's another name, Cesaro. he's over. People are cheering Cesaro. He's over. The giant swing is one of the most popular moves in WWE right now. And I think that Cesaro has the tools that it takes. And I even posed the question on WrestlingInc.com, will Cesaro be champion, WWE World Heavyweight Champion, before WrestleMania 31? And I had a ton of replies to that. But probably not. But he has the tools to be one of the top players in the WWE.
He's got the tools. No, I don't think he's going to be champion. Not anytime soon. If he does, I don't want to say it'll be almost like an Alberto Del Rio type of championship. But it'll be, speaking of that, where's he been lately? But,
he had that little bitty segment with Batista backstage when he had the neck brace on.
Yeah. But Cesaro, I kind of see him as, he could be something. I mean, he really could be. I don't think they're going to book him to be somebody that he really should be. I mean, they're kind of struggling like that with Daniel Bryan right now, and I think they're struggling with that with Cesaro being in the mid-card status right now. So it's kind of a hit or miss with him. He could do great, but what are they going to do with him?
Yeah. Hopefully something. Real quick, let's go to the Wyatt family defeating Sin Cara and Los Matadores. They just threw three people to the Wyatt family to make them look good heading to Elimination Chamber. Then we got Jey Uso defeating Billy Gunn, which I'll tie in the question from SMH122, at SMH122, big plug to him. With the Usos and NAO at Elimination Chamber, what do you think will be the tag title match for WrestleMania 30? I think it will be a rematch between the Usos and New Age Outlaws. I think the Usos will win some type of fatal four-way or some type of triple threats match leading into WrestleMania, and they'll get an opportunity to win the titles again. I guess that was a spoiler for who I think is going to win the tag team titles, but I think that, and it's sad too, and I've said before, I don't want to see the New Age Outlaws defend the titles at WrestleMania. I don't want to see it, but at the same time, you know, we kind of have to think, this is kind of like their right off to the sunset. This is their most likely their last WrestleMania, their first one in like 15 years together. And I don't, you know, I guess if we're going to have the nostalgia factor, let's just end the nostalgia factor at WrestleMania. They lose to the Usos at WrestleMania, and they go back to being agents for NXT. That's what I'd like.
Yeah, that's what you'd like, but yeah. It seems like almost a nostalgic factor is the only thing that WWE has anymore. Yeah, you've got all this talent and this matches and the bookings just don't make it anymore. Pay-per-views back in the day used to be month to month to month to month. You couldn't wait for them. And now it's like you see these people that they could make the pay-per-view great, right off in the sunset. And is that going to happen? That's probably what the majority of the people want to see happen, because the wrestlers of today just aren't cutting it. Not too much the wrestlers, but the back office. So, I mean, it's holding on to nostalgia, but yeah, you got to have that.
Yeah, that's a great point there. I totally can't disagree with that. Sheamus defeating Randy Orton by disqualification. The Shield attacks Sheamus, which I don't understand. I wonder if that's going to lead to a WrestleMania match somehow involving Sheamus. Elimination Chamber participants come out, then the Wyatt family, the stare down with the Shield was good, and all of a sudden they all started to fight each other. So, I mean, it was a good way to end Raw. I think this is the go home show to Raw. I think it was a good way to end Raw. They finally, after the stare down that they've had the past couple of weeks, I think it was a good idea for the Wyatt family and the Shield actually have some type of physical altercation, and I'm cool with it. It was a good way to end Raw. I just don't understand why the Shield attacked Sheamus though. That was a bit surprising to me.
Well, it happens. It was the end of Raw. No one's going to really realize what's going to happen with that. But it's good to have Sheamus involved with the Shield. He's pretty new back as far as – pretty new back, but what does that mean? He's back. So let's hone in on that. The Shield's going to give him notoriety, just him being in the ring with them, and vice versa for the Shield. So I get it. I see it. There could be something against with that, so – Yeah,
I don't know.
But
I mean,
it could work.
Sheamus went against the Shield last year, though. It was Sheamus, Orton, and Show against the Shield, and that was just an odd six-man match.
Sheamus is still making his comeback.
Well, I don't know. 2 years, if 2 years straight involved with the Shield, I'm not a big fan of that because. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that they should take away Daniel Bryan from Kane. Daniel Bryan and Kane should be just a match on Raw. And Kane is causing Daniel Bryan to continue to get momentum and go against the grain. And Triple H is behind Kane's thing with Daniel Bryan and leads to Daniel Bryan and Triple H at WrestleMania. But honestly, I think it's – Sheamus, he's getting cheers again. Sheamus should be inserted in this authority angle. I think that Kane should also stop Sheamus from becoming champion, and we should see Kane versus Sheamus at WrestleMania. I think that's what we should do. What we should see Kane versus Sheamus at WrestleMania. It'd be a good match between the two, and it would continue Sheamus's face run, and it would be a good hard hitting match, and it would be a good match for WrestleMania.
It'd be a good match for WrestleMania. I can see that. And So let's get on. What's the chat room flavor of the week? Well, we still have to cover TNA and SmackDown, so let's keep the ball rolling.
As far as Impact Wrestling is concerned and SmackDown, like I do every week, as far as the time is concerned, check out
seconds.
My articles,
go.
Impact Wrestling Review. No, they deserve more than that. Come on now. This is the Impact Wrestling debut. Impact Wrestling Review, check it out on wrestling.com. It's always fun. I put a lot of media involved, and we get a lot of fun, exciting talk with Impact Wrestling from my reviews every week. And as far as SmackDown is concerned, like I said, check out the question that was posed on wrestling.com. Should Cesaro win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship before WrestleMania 31? So definitely check them out on WrestlingInc.com. Some interesting points from Impact Wrestling at Manchester. MVP, we see debuts for in-ring debuts of MVP and the Wolves. I was satisfied with both of those. The Abyss thing is going pretty weird to me. And then we got a promo of Willow, which is Jeff Hardy going back to his old Will-O-The-Wisp gimmick back in Omega, back in the mid-late 90s. So it should be. I'm not sold on it. Will-O-The-Wisp when he was with Omega, it was very very over. It was a big gimmick because he wore the mask and it would be two distinct characters. It would be Will-O-The-Wisp and Jeff Hardy. So it was a very interesting thing, but that was so, like, 16, 17 years ago. So, you know, we'll see if a much older Jeff Hardy, if it will still work with that. So from back in 1997, so... We'll see. We'll see. 97, 98, but we'll see. We'll see how it works, and it should be interesting. So, As far as SmackDown is concerned, like I said, Cesaro versus Randy Orton was a very good match. It was surprising to see him win clean, but I was a big fan of it. So, all right, let's get to the flavor of the week, WrestleMania 7. We've covered all of them so far. And real quick, just another question posed on Twitter. Just a simple answer. Who do you think has a better chance of winning the title first between the end of before the end of 2014, Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan? My answer to that would be Daniel Bryan.
Oh, Daniel Bryan for sure. He should be. I mean, that's obviously nobody can deny that. I mean, he's like got the what chance from Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yes, yes, yes. That says a lot.
Yeah.
That's really captivated the audience. You can't deny that. That is huge. That is absolutely huge.
I agree, and I really hope that the WWE decides to, you know, run with that and have Daniel Bryan actually win the title and be the true face of the WWE. He's the unofficial face of the WWE right now, and for some reason the Vince McMahon isn't really buying it as much as he should. So
he's waiting for it because he can.
Yeah, but the fans,
there's no one to go against him.
The fans has made it known that Daniel Bryan should be the face of the WWE. So WrestleMania 7, Los Angeles, California, Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter. This was on the heels of Desert Storm. This was Sergeant Slaughter showing himself to be one of the best heels in WWE history. Fantastic, fantastic build. Fantastic hatred of Sergeant Slaughter. I mean, they just rode that wave until it was completely gone, which is a fantastic and brilliant idea to do that. As far as the undercard is concerned, the Rockers defeated the Barbarian Haku. Texas Tornado defeated Dino Bravo. I was a big fan of Kerry Von Erich, man, especially when he was Texas Tornado. I was a big fan when he was in World Class as well, but Texas Tornado, man, he was good. When he beat Penick for the Intercontinental title, that was another mark-out moment that I had as a kid. British Bulldog defeated the Warlord. Nasty Boys defeated the Hart Foundation to capture the WWE Tag Team Championship. Blindfold match between Jake Roberts and Rick Martel as a result of Rick Martel spraying the Atigans perfume in Jake Roberts' face. Undertaker defeated Jimmy Snuka. This was the debut WrestleMania for The Undertaker. Ultimate Warrior defeated Randy Savage in a retirement match. That was probably one of the most emotional matches in WrestleMania history. Randy Savage was he was a team player enough to take how the Ultimate Warrior defeated him, which was a simple. I mean, he kicked out Ultimate Warrior kicked out of the elbow, and he eventually did his finisher, which was just a splash to the back, which was, I always thought that it was an odd finisher, the big gorilla press into a splash, but he ended up pinning him with his foot, so that was kind of odd. And then one of the most confusing wins to me ever is when Tenryu and Katao defeated Demolition. I mean, I like the Japan. They're notable in they were notable in Japan, especially Tenryu. But
random Japanese.
I like the integration, but a clean win against one of the best tag teams in WWE at the time, that was just totally odd to me. And it was a short match too. I really didn't understand that. The Big Boss Man defeated Mr. Perfect by disqualification. Earthquake defeated Greg Valentine. The LLD defeated the Power and Glory. That was a very interesting match there. It was like less than a minute. Then Virgil defeated Ted DiBiase by countout. The Mountie defeated Tito Santana. And then, of course, Hulk Hogan recaptured the WWE Championship by defeating Sergeant Slaughter.
Wow. That is a card that you can take to the bank. Are you kidding me?
Take to the bank, yeah, man.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that was take so the great. The blindfold match with Jake the Snake Roberts and Rick the Model Martel, I mean, that was beautiful. I remember watching that one. I saw it when it was live, and I was so blown away. Sergeant Slaughter has to be one of the best heels of all time just for his participation with the Desert Storm, the build-up to that. WrestleMania 7 was an absolute gem. I remember watching WrestleMania 6 when they advertised WrestleMania 7 in Los Angeles. L.A., here we come.
Yeah.
You had no idea what was going to happen, but when it happened, you were just mind blown. This is beautiful. It was a great WrestleMania. You'll never see a WrestleMania like that again. You just won't have that. And it was absolutely, it was great. It was probably one of the last great WrestleManias of its time, of its era. Because after that, you had WrestleMania 8, which was good, but yeah. And the Macho Man Randy Savage Ultimate Warrior retirement match, that was in itself was
totally
great.
Man. Yes, that match was. I mean, the poignancy that came behind that match was just, it was just second to none, man. It was such a fantastic match that I was a huge fan of that match, and I definitely think that it will go on as one of the best matches as far as the build is concerned. And then we saw Randy Savage become a commentator and then eventually come back, you know, go against Jake Roberts, you know. So that was amazing. WrestleMania 8, ladies and gentlemen. We had WrestleMania 8, like you said, it wasn't as good. I mean, we had Sid Justice and Hogan, and we had Flair and Randy Savage. It was supposed to be Hogan and Flair, but there was rumors that they had a match. Well, they did have the match at Madison Square Garden at a house show that didn't go as well as they thought. So they kind of just changed it around a little bit. Sid Justice pulls a heel turn when he was initially with Hogan and kind of his ally, and then it all started at the Royal Rumble when Sid Justice turned his back on Hulk Hogan and eliminated him from the Royal Rumble, and then that led Hogan to kind of be a cheapskate about it and poor sport and hold Sid Justice's arm while Ric Flair eliminated him and won the Royal Rumble. And that led to Sid Justice making the heel turn and going against Hulk Hogan at 92. As far as the rest of the results, the Shawn Michaels defeated El Matador. That just sounds funny. Undertaker defeats Jake Roberts. That was a really good match too. That was a very, very good build with that. The whole Jake Roberts was about to give Randy Savage a chair shot, if I'm not mistaken, and the Undertaker grabbed. They were backstage, and the Undertaker was behind Jake Roberts, and he grabbed the chair, and Jake Roberts was wondering why the Undertaker was kind of having a change of heart, so. So it led to a pretty good match. It was face turned by The Undertaker shortly before here and became one of the best of all time. Bret Hart defeated Roddy Piper to reclaim the Intercontinental Championship. Eight-man tag team match, Boss Man, Virgil, Slaughter, and Dugan defeated the Nasty Boys, the Nasty Boys, the Repo Man, and the Mountie. Change of heart by Sergeant Slaughter, too. Randy Savage defeats Ric Flair to win the WWE Championship. Very good match there. Tatanka defeats Rick Martel. Natural Disasters defeats Money Inc. to win the Tag Team Championship. Owen Hart defeats Skinner. And the main event was Hogan against Sid Justice, which was odd to me. I think the title match should have been the main event, but and it was a disqualification finish too. That was probably one of the worst finishes of WrestleMania history. It was just the match, the build, and then the ending of it. Just it wasn't that good, and it didn't leave a good taste in the mouth of the WrestleMania flavor at all.
No, it didn't. I agree. It was a great card. They had a lot of great matches. I mean, you had an awesome superstar card with who was there. You had Ric Flair. You had early Shawn Michaels, Roddy Piper, Bret Hart, Hulk Hogan, Sid Vicious, Slaughter, Boss Man. I mean, all those guys were there. But it was probably the first WrestleMania that just didn't make or build to what you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
1-7, absolutely phenomenal. WrestleMania 8, kind of a stinker, but you had the people there. You had the talent there. It just didn't deliver the way that WrestleMania should have. That was probably the first time that WrestleMania just didn't do it for you.
Yeah, I think that's true, man. It didn't deliver as much as it should have. That's for sure.
And going
all
on
right,
to WrestleMania 9.
Yeah, we'll cover WrestleMania 9 next week and WrestleMania 10 while we have just stacked lineup for next week. Real quick, we only got a couple minutes here. We'll just quickly go through the matches and our predictions. As far as the matches are concerned right now, there's a few matches that was added on. We have Darren Young versus Titus O'Neil in a singles match. I'm going to go Titus O'Neil because I think they have a better investment of Titus O'Neil's heel turn than Darren Young being the babyface that we want to see beat the heel that just turned on him.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Titus O'Neil is going to be the guy of that match. He's going to be the winner, but it's not going to really put much steam behind him, I don't think.
I totally agree with that. This won't do much of anything for Titus O'Neil. New Age Outlaws against the Usos for the Tag Team Championship. I'm going Usos. I'm going New Age Outlaws. I'm going Usos at WrestleMania. That will be their moment, but the New Age Outlaws retains the titles.
Oh, you didn't know? Of course, New Age Outlaws are going to totally dominate that match, and that's great.
No,
I'm going to enjoy seeing it again. I'm going to enjoy seeing it again.
They'll win, but they won't dominate.
Yeah.
Big E against Jack Swagger for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm going to go Big E retains the title. They don't have much going for Jack Swagger.
No, they don't have anything for Jack Swagger. Big E Langston for sure.
Batista, Alberto Del Rio. Clearly Batista.
Batista, for sure. That's a no question. Again, next match.
Yeah. Wyatt Family against the Shield. Like I said, Wyatt Family wins because of a Shield dissension and a possible breakup and going into WrestleMania 30.
Yep. I see that, too.
Yep.
Again, good call.
Yep. And lastly, Randy Orton against John Cena, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan, and Cesaro, and Christian. We will see Orton versus Batista at WrestleMania 30, unfortunately, so Randy Orton will, unfortunately, retain the title.
He'll retain the title. Randy Orton against Batista should be a pre-match to WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly. It should be a dark match is what it should be. Fun as always. Great, great time. It's been such an amazing ride. 99 episodes. Next week, we just turn the page, and it's a different chapter, and it's even better. 100 episodes. Next week, we will be here. Tyler Rex, till next week, have a great week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.